On Friday, we had a question that had been put in the box. And for those of you who are new, by the way, there are boxes out here for all of the speakers for you to submit questions. And I have been told by the eldership they are not suggestion boxes. They are question boxes. Okay? So be sure you understand the difference between those. If not, you can ask a question. And apparently, from what I understood of last hour session, you better not ask a dumb question. So, also for those who may be new, I did announce concerning this session, and it sounded like Mark was going to go along the same lines, the easiest way to keep from being disappointed about these sessions is to have no expectations, and you'll be fine. Okay, today, anyway, I want to get some of your comments about about the question that was posed, that was put into the box, and I'll quickly review what I had commented on. The question was, how can we get more meaning out of the lyrics of a song? And my comments were, when we remove the music, the lyrics of a song become a poem. So the question can be thought of as, how can we get more meaning from the poem? And this question is very similar, although realize that lyrics are not necessarily God-inspired, Holy Spirit-inspired. But this question can be very similar in... a similar type question is, how can we get more meaning from a verse of the Bible? I think similar processes may go along to accomplish that. And here are some things that I suggested. Take time to carefully look at the lyrics. Look at them slowly and carefully. You know, when we're zooming along singing, you may not get all of that. So stop and maybe quietly by yourself, take a look at it. Sometimes it is appropriate for the song leader to say something about the lyrics of a song. If there are any poetic devices that are used, pay attention to those and appreciate what the lyricist has done there. They have done it in a poetical form to add a dimension of it for you. So hopefully you can see that and appreciate it. Be sure to answer these three basic questions. What does it say? What does it mean? And what does it mean to me? And be open to seeing additional significances at some later point in your life. Perhaps some major event. Perhaps just some looking at it again after not looking at it for a while. May make this song... I've lost track of how often. This is a rhetorical question. You know, there's a verse that I may even have memorized, and I can just spout it off from memory, and then I stop and think about a phrase of that, and there's an extra meaning there. There's an extra dimension that I had not paid attention to before, even knowing it by heart. Okay, what comments do you have along... These were my comments on Friday along these lines. For the person who is wanting to... Well, and that should be all of us. Getting more meaning, getting full meaning, as much meaning as possible from the lyrics. What additional comments do you have? Doug. Ah. Okay, good. The desire. Lewis.
Well, a song or a psalm can be objective. You have to be in it. And oftentimes, if the music is well done with the poem, there's an emotional lift that puts you in it. So the words become part of you.
Okay. His suggestion is, be sure that you put yourself in it, emotionally experiencing the song. And the music can, if it's well done, can help to do that. And I agree with that. And I think God understood that too in his commands to us to sing. He didn't say just think about it. Because you could, you can think about it. But when we then put it to words, that adds a dimension. When we put those words in a lyrical form, in a poetic form, that adds another dimension. And when we put those lyrics to music, that adds another dimension. How many dimensions do we have so far here, Mark? Yeah. You know? And God understands how that's important for us and the richness that experience can bring and wants us to do that. Steve.
You mentioned how it's appropriate sometimes for the song leader to make some comments about the lyrics, and included with that might be the need of explanation of some terms.
Correct.
Here I raise my Ebenezer. What does that mean?
Yeah. Or even words that we understand all the words. Hear mice in me. Here am I, send me. I'm not mice. Here am I, send me. Okay? And if you don't know the context of what that's about, I mean, we may understand all of those words and still not get what it's talking about. Yeah, good point. Right. Right. Good. Eldon.
You mentioned about memorizing verses, but then you come back and you understand it more because of the particular circumstances you're in. The same thing should be true with our singing. When we come to serve, come to worship, our minds should be upon worship, and as we sing those words, they should bring a feeling or a meaning to us that don't let it become a habit. Like the Lord's Supper, we say, don't let it become a habit. We concentrate on what it means to us. We should be doing the same thing, I feel, with the songs. Therefore, we can put more meaning into the song as we sing it, because we have that feeling from us and understanding from us of what those words are actually conveying to our life.
I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. What? In summary, Eldon was saying we need to be sure that this doesn't just become out of habit or of rote. We really do need to be thinking about concentrating on the meanings of the words that we are singing and make them a part of what we're doing. Is that a fair summary of that? Okay. Christy, and then Sam. And I suppose the reverse of that could be the case, too. Right. By the way, in case there was some question about what Mark brought up regarding tempo, how fast does this song go? And the answer was 4-4. In case that wasn't clear to you why that's funny, 4-4 does not tell you anything about tempo, about speed. 4-4 simply tells you what types of notes are being used and how many of them per measure. The quarter note, there are four of them or mathematically equivalent to that for each measure. But it does not tell you anything about tempo. And many of our songs have no tempo markings. There are musical tempo markings, usually words. In Italian, or we can use also metronome markings, which are in beats per minute. But most of our songs, or many of our songs, don't even have those. So it is up to the song leader to pick an appropriate tempo. The tempo is how fast you go, And not only just tempo, but lots of things the song leader has some responsibility for as far as making the song meaningful. Sam. Okay, anything else for the good of the order? Did everyone hear that, or do I need to repeat that too? Okay. Yes, no, I didn't, but... Why not tonight for the invitation in the morning service? Yeah, there's lots of inappropriate songs under certain circumstances. Was there another hand? Go ahead. Yes. Yes. Sometimes the circumstances of how a song were written, if there's an appropriate time to talk about that, the song leader could say something about that. Yes. And nowadays, with the internet, a lot of that stuff is a lot easier to find than perhaps it used to be. There are books also that have published many of the popular hymns and the circumstances around the history of those songs. Good. Okay, so enough on that. Okay, let's see what's next on our agenda. I don't have a trivia question for you for tomorrow. I know some of you are feeling left out, but none came to mind. Yeah, why is it that Mike didn't have a trivia question today? Okay, we'll just do one time straight through. Peace, Perfect Peace, 239 from the Red Songbooks. And last week we talked about some of the physical things of your body. Sitting tall, back straight, chest not moving, just the chest high, not shoulders high, but just chest high in a natural straight position, the motion of the breathing from the abdomen area, and a nice open mouth, nice and big, almost like you're yawning. Okay, concentrate on holding the vowels, not the consonants. Listen to the other parts. There's lots of beautiful harmony in this song. And the question is, each first part is asking a question, a seemingly contradictory issue. Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin? With the response of, how can that be? Well, because of the blood of Jesus, it whispers peace within. And each, there's a question and an answer. And appearing on purpose here, or is it me, or is it, you don't need me to for this singing, I don't think. Okay. I'm going to put it on standby then. But I think this is a little corny, but I figured, what better place to have a song that's a little corny than Iowa? this song, many of you know this song, at least the melody part of this song, and I was almost all done with this when I realized this isn't even in the Blue Songbooks. I thought it was one of the ones in the Blue Songbooks, but that's okay. We can still, since I was writing my own little version anyway, we can still do this version. How many know this song? Okay, not that many. Either that, or you guys are just ashamed of songs you do know, or something. Okay, do me. Let's have everybody sing Gimmon's part, which is the melody. You are the words and the music. You are the song that I sing. You are the melody. You are the harmony. Praise to your name I will bring. You are the Lord of lords. You are the mighty God. You are the King of all kings. So now I give back to you the songs that gave to me. You are the song that I sing. Again, everyone. You are the words and the music. You are the song that I sing. You are the melody. You are the harmony. Praise to your name I will bring. You are the Lord of lords. You are the mighty God. You are the King of all kings. So now I give back to you the songs that you gave to me. You are the song that I sing. Okay. And the part where I couldn't help myself, the counter melody that I wrote to this, that I arranged here, has a little calypso beat to it. And so if you think that's a little corny, I do too. But it's still kind of fun. Okay? Now, to get this beat, I'm going to suggest that we... And I'm not a big clapper person. But I'm going to ask you to snap your fingers only on beat two. Okay? Only on beat two of the four. It's in four. Okay, so it'll be like the four pattern. And we'll go a little slower. One, two, three, four. One, two. Just two. Three, four. One, three, four. One, three, four. One, three, four. One, three, four. Okay, now, keep doing that. Three, four. You are the music. You are the song I sing. Your melody, harmony, praise your name I bring. Your Lord of lords, mighty God, your King of all kings. So I give back songs you gave me, your song that I sing, that I sing. Now, the snap, if you're singing when you're snapping, you're early. On the calypso beat, this is the reason I'm doing the snap thing, and you can leave it out once you get the hang of it. On the calypso beat, the biggest error musically that people have is they want to rush that second note. Bum, bum. Go late on it. Bum, 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 like that. Okay, and we'll go slow enough so we can be sure to be accurate with pitches. And then we'll speed it up a little. Okay, and let's have everybody do the men's part. Okay, do, here we go. And you can snap your finger on beat two. Ready, here we go. You're on the music. You are the song I sing. Your melody, harmony, praise your name I bring. Your Lord of lords, my Almighty God, you're King of all kings. So I give back songs you gave me, your song that I sing, that I sing. Okay? One more time, and you can leave out the click if you want. And by the way, we're not getting clicks all at the same time. Okay? On beat two. I'm real picky about this kind of stuff. It just drives me crazy. Percussionists that can't keep a tempo. I mean, they don't even have to play different notes. And so don't click off. Click on two. Okay, here we go. But do it. Just do it right. Please. Okay. All right. Or you can leave it out if I've intimidated you. Or anyway, do what you want. Do, here we go. That speed again, though, so we can be sure we have pitches accurately. And I need to say in the right words, too. The first word is you, not your, because R is the second word. Okay, that makes your. Anyway, here we go. One, two, three, go. You are the music. You are the song I sing. Your melody, harmony, praise your name. I bring your Lord of Lords, mighty God, your King of all kings. So I give back songs you gave me, your song that I sing, that I sing. Okay? Let's put it together. No, let me re-pitch, be sure we're close. Do me for the ladies, and we're not going to go. We'll just take that same tempo. Do bum bum bum. Do. Here we go. You are the music. You are the song I sing. Your melody, harmony. Praise your name. I bring your Lord of Lords, mighty God, your King of all kings. So I give back songs you gave me, your song that I sing. And again, your are the music. Praise your name. I bring your Lord of Lords, mighty God, your King of all kings. So I give back songs you gave me, your song that I sing, that I sing. That kind of fun? Want to go a little faster? Bum, 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 bum. One more time. A little faster. One, two, three, four, one, two. Ready? Go. You are the music. You are the song I sing. Your melody, harmony, praise your name. I bring your Lord of Lords, mighty God, your King of all kings. So I give back songs you gave me, your song that I sing, that I sing. Okay. All right. I hope that's kind of fun. That was the intent. I go till 11:30, is that right? Well, I mean, that was the original plan, right? Okay, I just need to rethink, you know, where the big hand needs to be, you know. Okay, let's do a little bit of music theory stuff here. And some of this will be review, and for those who were not here, this will hopefully catch some of you up to sort of where we are. And I've got some new material that I want to present here, too. Okay, this is the soulfish stuff. We may come back and do some of that. Okay, by way of quick review here, here is just the beginning part of the grand staff. The five lines here is a staff. This is a staff. The two staves, staves is the plural of staff, the two staves, when they're grouped together like this, it's called the grand staff. On the top one, we have a little thing that looks like an S called the treble clef, also called the G clef. And it's called the G clef because it encircles the second line from the bottom, the line on which we place the note G. So that's a treble clef, also called the G clef, and it circles the line on which the note G is placed. And in treble clef, that's the second line from the bottom. When we number lines, we number them from the bottom. Or when we number spaces, we number them from the bottom. And it's the second line from the bottom. Okay, I got all this wonderful stuff here. I should just let it do its thing. Okay. This is called the bass clef. I should have asked you. You guys know. It's called the F clef. And why is it called the F clef? The dots tell us where the two dots are on each side of the line on which we place the note F. Okay? And by the way, years ago, this did used to look like sort of like a stylized G, the way they would write it. It looked very much like the letter G, and this used to look like the letter F. But the way we write the clefs and the way we've written our letters have gone sort of two different directions, so they don't necessarily look like that anymore. Okay, the two dots on each side of the line on which the note F is placed, which is the fourth line from the bottom. Then we can take these, and since this is bass clef here, since this is F, we alternate space, line. As we go up, we go forward through the alphabet. When we get to G, we start over. So there's F, G, start over, A, B, C. Or if we go backwards, we go backwards through the alphabet. I got one of these today. Let's see if it works. See if this is better. Here, it works. So we have F going backwards, going down, E, D, C, B, A. When we get to A, we have to go back to G again, then G, F, E. And so, this one shows both treble and bass. Thought I had one in between there. Anyway, so there are the notes of the bass clef. Similar treble clef, second line, there's that second line from the bottom. The note is G. Forward through the alphabet, as we go up, space, line, alternating. Go forward through the alphabet, A, B, C, D, F, G. Start over and get an A. As we go down in pitch, backwards through the alphabet, G, F, D, E, D, C, etc. Okay, that should all be review for at least those who were here last week. Then, I also use this by way of illustration, not because I'm endorsing in public worship, but by way of illustration, I think this is a good way to see our notes, particularly when we're talking about the issue of sharps and flats. The white notes of the piano keyboard are the letters in their natural form. C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, A, B, and you can keep on going. And then we have a sharp, which looks like a little tic-tac-toe sign or a pound symbol, and it raises the pitch of a note a half a step. A flat, looks like a little B kind of, lowers the pitch one half step. And we can also have enharmonic pitches. That's two pitches that we could name them two different ways or spell them two different ways, put them actually two different places on the staff, but they are the same pitch. And when that happens, we call them enharmonic pitches. So, all of the provide enharmonic pitches for us. For example, this one, if this is F, a half step is always the very next key right next to it. So this is a half step above F, and we call it F sharp. Or we could say it's a half step below G and also call it G flat. F sharp and G flat are enharmonic. G sharp and A flat are enharmonic. A sharp and B flat are enharmonic, which is for this key. Notice also that we have a couple of places where there is no B. Thus, the space between B and C is a half step. So we could have B sharp, which is the same as C. There are some enharmonic names here. B sharp is the same as C. C flat is the same as B, is enharmonic with B. Then we can take this whole notion and reorganize it into this chart, which shows all of the half steps. There are 12 unique ones in an octave, 12 unique half steps, 13 if you count and repeat the beginning and ending one. And these are all a half step, so a half step up from this is this, a half step up from this is this, a half step up from this is this, etc. These are all a half step apart, and the ones, then they line up vertically showing enharmonic. So B sharp is the same as C, C sharp is the same as D flat, D sharp is the same as E flat. These are enharmonics. Same pitch, different, two different ways to name it. Okay? And what's the distance between these two notes? We call that a how much? Say it again. Half step. So if this is a half step, what's the distance between this one and this one? A whole step. Two halves make a whole. Just like math. Okay? And it just so happens that when we make scales, like here's the G major scale, and here's the C major scale, and we can label each successive note with a solfege syllable, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. We can do the same in the key of C. The only difference is do is in a different place. This note might be higher than this note, or actually it might be lower too, but it's going to be a different note than this do. But once we start with do, then we can sing a scale from that point on. And the intervals that fall between are in this pattern. Whole step, half, whole, whole step, half. And this is true for all 15 major scales. All 15 of them have the same pattern. Whole step, half, whole step, half. And I mentioned on Friday, an easy way for me to remember this is just to remember whole step, half. Because if I cover this up, I have whole step, half, and then repeat it. Whole step, half. What's in between those? A whole step. Whole step, half. Whole step, half. All major scales have this pattern. Okay, and we played around a little bit, yes, on Friday with how you can use that pattern then to construct a major scale. Here is one way to construct major scales. List all of the notes in alphabetical order, beginning with the letter of the scale. When you get to G, start over again in A, and don't worry about any sharps or flats yet. Then place this pattern, whole step, half, between the consecutive notes, and progress through the scale and add flats or sharps as necessary to get the desired intervals to complete the scale. Note a major scale can have either flats or sharps, but not both. So for example, we started with the F scale, and so you just go through the letters, F, G, A, B, C, D, E, F. Then put in the pattern, whole step, half. And then work your way, and it's nice to have this little chart handy. And we did this on Friday. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. I'll do maybe one of them. We did this on Friday, and here's where the two stick, or the stick and the hand method came in handy. Starting on F. Okay, starting with F, a whole step up from F. So we count two from here. One, two, two more is G. What's a whole step up from G? A natural. What interval do we want above the A? Half step. So a half step from A is, yeah. Now, we have two ways we can name this, A sharp or B flat. Which one do we pick? B flat. Why? because it has to stay in alphabetical order. If you're starting at A and you want a half step up from that, you can't say A sharp, you have to say B flat, because we have to have all the letters of the alphabet in the scale. Okay? So we add a little flat there to the B, and we have B flat. Okay, from B flat, what interval do we go next? Whole. Okay, so from B flat, that would be two of these. One, start over. Two, so we're at C. From C, what interval? Whole. One, two, so the note is D. And from D, what interval? Whole. One, two, so the note is E. And from E, what interval? Half, one of them. So we go to F. Okay, so it just so happens this scale has only one flat. And in the major scales, there is only one scale that has only one flat, and it is the F scale. It's the F scale, and we can say a song that is built on the F scale is in the key of F. So if you see in the key signature, and you know it's a song in major, which virtually all of the songs in a red songbook are in major keys, and if I've counted right, there are four songs in the blue songbook that are in minor key. So that means all the rest of them are in major keys. So most of the songs we sing are in major keys. So once you know all your major key signatures, you can just look and see how many sharps or flats there are, and you know what key the song is in. That will help you with the do-mi-sol business that is necessary for that particular song. Okay, and there's the solfege for that. Okay, let me zoom ahead because I've done a bajillion of these, however many that is. I may need to exit out because there's other stuff on here later that I do want. But this is the whole notion of how to do it with a whole bunch of different keys. Same pattern, whole, whole, half, whole, whole, half. Okay, so you want to work through these? Let me know, I'll give you a copy of this, and you can play with them all you like. I thought I would hit the end of this pretty soon. I think I do. There we go. Okay, now, next what I've decided to do, I put them in alphabetical order, which is not necessarily a particularly good order for keys. But in alphabetical order, they are the ones that we use. We use 15 of them, and I put 8 of them here. And putting flats before naturals and naturals before sharps. There's 8 of them here, and duplicating the D flat, there's the remaining 8. There are 8 keys that we use in major, or there are 15 keys that we use in major, 8 on the previous slide, 8 on this slide, and then here are their scales. So the A flat major scale is the notes A flat, B flat, C, D flat, and I've already done all the pulse of half step business. That's all of them for those, and for those 8, and then for these 8, here are them too. Which may or may not be particularly helpful. I don't necessarily like doing them in alphabetical order. Instead, I really prefer this order. And again, there are 15 of them, but I've only shown the first 8. Now, this order makes a lot more sense to me for several reasons. First of all, notice that this isn't working. Here it is. There, okay. Notice, what is the fifth note of this scale? G flat. And that is the first note of the next scale. What's the fifth note of this scale? D flat. And that's the first note of this scale. What's the fifth of this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. A flat. What's the fifth of this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. E flat. What's the fifth of this? B flat. What's the fifth of this? F. What's the fifth of this? C. Okay, this begins to create for us what's called the circle of fifths. Okay? And you'll see what's another reason I like this, and really a more important reason than this to be the fifth of that. How many sharps or flats do we have here? 0. How many do we have on the one right above it? 1. 1 what? 1 flat. Okay. Now, on the one above it, don't count the first and last one, don't count that twice, just count that once. Because it's B flat, we're only going to count it once. How many flats are there? Two. And the one above it? Three. The one above it? Four. The one above it? Five flats. The one above it? Six flats. And the one above it? Seven flats. And since we only have seven unique notes, that's all we're going to do. To have eight flats, you'd have to, in a key signature, you'd have to go to double flats, and we prefer not to do that. Okay? So, that's all of the flat signatures. All of the flat keys, all of the keys that have flat notes in them. Okay? Now, let's do this. With this one that has only one flat, what note is flatted? B flat. B is flatted. We have B flat. Do any of these others have a B flat in them? The ones that are above it. If any key has a flat in it, any number of flats, one of them is going to be B flat. Okay? Let's go to the one that has only two flats. We already know it has a B flat in it. What's the new one? What's the one that... E flat. Do any of the rest of these have an E flat? They all do. So if a key has two flats, one of those flats is going to be B flat and one of those flats is going to be E flat. If it has two or more, always it's going to have a B flat and an E flat. Okay. And the one that has three flats, what's the new flat? A flat. Any of the rest of these above it have an A flat? All of them do. In the one that has four flats, what's the new flat? D flat. Do any of the rest above it have a D flat? They all do. The one that has five flats, we know it has a B flat, we know it has an E flat, we know it has an A flat, we know it has a D flat. What's the new flat? G flat. Do any of the ones above it have a G flat? They all do. The one that has six flats, we know it has a B flat, an E flat, an A flat, a D flat, and a G flat. What's the new flat? C flat. Do any of the ones above it have a C flat? Yes. The only one above it does. And then the one with seven flats, what's the new one that we haven't listed yet? F flat. There it is. F flat. This is what we call, this here, is the order of flats. As you see them in the key signature, they're placed on the staff, like B flat is placed on the line on which B is. Okay? They're placed on the staff, and as you read them in the key signature from left to right, this is the order of flats, the way that they will read. B-flat will always be first, and then E-flat, and then A-flat, and then D-flat, and then G-flat, and then C-flat, and then F-flat, if you have that many. And if you don't have that many, if you only have four, it's going to be in this order. B-flat, E-flat, A-flat, D-flat. The order of flats will always be that way. Okay. Now, so, let's just look at these. Here are our key signatures. Let's start with the one that has seven flats. Sure enough, B-flat, E-flat, A-flat, D-flat, G-flat, C-flat, F-flat. As I read them from left to right, a little hard to point with this. B-flat, E-flat, A-flat, D-flat, G-flat, C-flat, F-flat. As you read them from left to right. If there's, let's say, only four flats, B-flat, E-flat, A-flat, D-flat. Always in that order. It's the first four of these seven. So I can tell just by looking at the number of flats, once I get this memorized or once I have a system of knowing, I can tell what key I'm in just by counting the number of flats. If I have five flats, it tells me it's key D flat. Now, there is a little trick to this, a little shortcut. If you can read your flats and you know your order of flats, if this is for major, if it has no flats or sharps, it's the key of C. If it has one flat, it's the key of F. You have to memorize those two. No sharps or flats, key of C. One flat, key of F. For any of the other flat keys, take the second to the last flat. The second to the last, the penultimate flat. And that's the name of the key. Seven flats. Second, there's the last one. Second to the last. See how you read them from left to right? Second to the last, C flat. Whoops, that's the name of the key. Five flats. Second to the last, D flat. Name of the key. Three flats. Second to the last, E flat. Name of the key. Little shortcut there, which might be helpful. for looking at keys and figuring out, looking at key signatures and figuring out key. All right, questions so far? Sure. May I finish this and remind me before we sing again? Okay? Don't let me get singing again without reminding me, though. Okay. Thanks. Let's do the same thing with the sharps, and we'll progress a little bit quicker through it. Now we're going to work top to bottom. The top one is C. How many sharps are flats? Zero. The next one below it? One. The question is how many? And one sharp. Okay? The one below it? Two sharps. The one right below that? Three sharps. Oh, by the way, let's see if the same pattern is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, G. What's the fifth of G? D. What's the fifth of D? A. What's the fifth of A? E. We're still continuing in the circle of fifths, by the way. Okay, the one below A. Four sharps below five. Next one, six. Don't count the F sharp twice. And the one below that, seven. Okay? The one that has one sharp, what sharp is that? F sharp. The ones below it are going to have more sharps. The ones below it, do any of those have F sharp? They all do. Okay. The one that has two sharps, we already know it has an F sharp. What's the new one? C sharp. Do any of the ones below it have C sharp? They all do. The one that has three sharps, we know it already has an F sharp and a C sharp. We already know that. The new one is G sharp. Do any of the ones below it have a G sharp? They all do. Okay, the one that has four sharps, we already know it has an F sharp, C sharp, G sharp. What's the new one? Say again? D sharp, correct. Uh-huh. Do any of the ones below it have a D sharp? They all do. Five sharps. We already know it has an F sharp, C sharp, G sharp, D sharp. What's the new one? A sharp. Any of the ones below it have an A sharp? They all do. The one with six sharps, we already know it has an F sharp, C sharp, G sharp, D sharp, A sharp. What's the new one? Say again? E sharp. E sharp is the new one. The one below it, does it have an E sharp? Yes, it does. And then the one with seven sharps, we already know it has F sharp, C sharp, G sharp, D sharp, A sharp, E sharp. What's the new one? B sharp. Don't be sharp. Don't be flat. Just be natural. Okay? All right. Very similar pattern to what we had before. Now, if on the ones of flats, when we read them from left to right, we had the order of flats, what do you think we have here? The order of sharps as they show up in the key signature. As you read them, if they're in a key signature, as you read them from left to right, this is the order that they're going to be. F sharp, C sharp, G sharp, D sharp, A sharp, E sharp, B sharp. And it just so happens that the order of sharps and the order of flats are exactly reversed from each other. The order of flats is B flat, E flat, A flat, D flat, G flat, C flat, F flat. The order of sharps is the reverse of that. F sharp, C sharp, G sharp, D sharp, A sharp, E sharp, B sharp. Who says it doesn't make any sense? Okay, and to this then again, now looking at some of the rest of these, by the way, this music program, I probably could have figured out a way to get rid of that. This one wrote, because it's changing keys each time, this one wrote a whole bunch of naturals to cancel all those flats, but it's really the key with one sharp. And it's G. Okay? So, looking at one with seven sharps, reading from left to right, there's our order of sharps. F sharp, C sharp, G sharp, D sharp, A sharp, E sharp, B sharp. Okay, a shortcut with the sharps. Again, no sharps or flats is key of C. With the sharps, take the last sharp, the very last sharp, raise it a half step, and when you do that, be sure you change to the next letter in the alphabet. Raise it a half step, and that's your key. So, for example, two sharps. The last sharp is C sharp. C sharp raised a half step is D. It's key of D. Four sharps. The last sharp is D sharp. D sharp raised a half step is E. So take the last. It's a little trickier when you get down here. E sharp. E sharp raised a half step is not F, because E sharp is F. Okay, so E sharp raised a half step is F sharp. Go back and consult our chart that we had earlier and you will see that to be true. E sharp raised a half step is F sharp. And those then these are our 15 keys. One last thing on this and then we'll progress on to something else. And this was hand-drawn, as you can tell. This is the circle of fifths, or another way of looking at this circle of fifths. You want on the circle of fifths, you want it to be like a clock with only 12 positions, because there are only 12 really unique steps. So we have three enharmonic keys. We have three enharmonic scales. And here, B and C flat are the same. They're enharmonic with each other, because they're the same note. F sharp and G flat are enharmonic with each other, and C sharp and D flat are enharmonic with each other. That's how we can have 15 key signatures, but really only 12 half steps, because we have some enharmonic keys. So this works. If you start with 7 and go clockwise, you go through the circle. C is G. C, A, B, C, D. C, let me spell right. C, D, E, F, G. C, D, E, F, G. That's a fifth. So a fifth above C flat is G flat. A fifth above G flat is D. Fifth above D flat. A fifth above D flat is A flat. A fifth above A flat is E flat, etc. As you go around here, a fifth above A is E. A fifth above E is B. A fifth above B is F sharp. A fifth above F sharp is G sharp. So each step around the clock here is a fifth. Going clockwise, increments by a fifth. And it just so happens, as we do that, we go from 7 flats to 6 flats to 5 flats to 4 flats to 3 flats to 2 flats to 1 flats to no flat or sharps to 1 sharp, 4 sharp, 5 sharp, 6 sharp, 7 sharps. Thus the circle of fifths. Okay. And that's all I want to say about that. Questions? All right, let's sing. Don't forget to breathe. That's right. Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes.
What would be the advantage for vocal singing of any of those keys? Does it settle down to a few keys that are most accommodating, or why would somebody want to pitch it a certain way when they write it?
Okay. The question is basically, how do you know which key to pick? If I could boil it down to that,
if you're composing, right?
If you are writing for instruments, you might want to be careful about having not too many flats or not too many sharps, because it just makes it more challenging for the instrumentalist. For the vocalist, that's not that big of a deal. So I can sing in 7 flats just as easily as I can in no flats and sharps. But my clarinet playing is way different with 7 flats than it is with no flats or sharps. So if you're composing for the instrumentalist, you do want to try and have as few as possible. For the vocalist, you want to consider range. What's the lowest note of this song? What's the highest note of this song? And can I sort of adjust it, either up or down, to place it such that the high note is reachable and the low note is reachable by the voices that will be singing this song? That's sort of the main consideration that I give to it when I'm considering a key. And I was not careful that with that for the Psalm 1 that I wrote out rather hastily Saturday night. I probably should have pitched that higher. I did it because I was thinking in the key of C, which is easy to compose in, but I should have probably written it in a higher key because it's kind of too low. 243, Blue Psalm Book 243. Let's don't forget to breathe. Okay. Is Adam Norris here? He had to go home? Will he not be here at all? Oh, I was going to give him a special job too. Okay. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He must have known. Okay. Now, the breathing technique. You want the chest high, not stiff, but high. Imagine, this for me, I think is the easiest way. Imagine a string suspending your body through the top of your head, connected to your spine, just kind of pulling it all up nice and straight, and this naturally just is high. Okay? The easiest way to physically experience that is to lay flat on the floor, and your chest will naturally drop toward your head. Okay? Flat, completely flat, no pillow, no elevation, completely flat, and that will happen. It's a little harder when you're standing or sitting because we want to do this or this or something else. So you got to think straight back, nice and comfortable, relaxed, shoulders relaxed, arms relaxed. And I found, I didn't know, so I was really singing in this, these armrests almost, they almost make you want to do this, at least a person of my height. And you kind of don't want that. So maybe go inside the armrest you can, or outside if that, you know, if you're not intruding upon your neighbor. So chest high, then the breathing part, if you do it correctly, the motion should be here, not with the chest, but with the stomach. And as you breathe out, we can go ahead and do this. One hand here, breathe out all the way, and then hold, and then just relax, and it should automatically fill. You don't have to do anything except let go. Out, 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 out. Hold. Inhale. So if you need a breath, like for example, let's say you're singing and you just ran out of air and you need a breath somewhere in the middle, just stop and take one. And that's way quicker than this business. You can get a quick catch breath by keeping the chest high and then just let it go and get one and keep singing. And since we're singing chorally, that is all together, if you all breathe at different times, we could, and sometimes choirs do this, we could have a sound that sounds like it just goes on forever, that there is no breath. Now, there are natural phrases, so it's a good idea to breathe at the phrase points. Okay, let's sing straight through. 2-4-3, Blue Songbook 2-4-3. Do, mi. Oh, I should. Here. How many do we have in the key signature? How many what's? Two flats. Oh, and I pressed the wrong button anyway, so glad I asked. Okay. Two flats tell us what? The key of B flat. Second to the last flat, if you read them from left to right, is B flat. So the B flat is the what solfege syllable? The do. Okay. The B flat is the do. Do, and that would be maybe tenor. Do, sol, soprano, mi, alto, do, bass. Here we go. Far from God and far from home, I was lost in the night and the cold. Like a lamb that strays away, away from the good shepherd's fold. Near him I want to be, near him eternally, near him who loves me and keeps me each day. He is my Lord and King, ever to him I'll cling, and I shall be near him while ages pass away. Through the night the Savior came, all alone in the cold seeking me. Gently drew me to his side, paid the price that my soul might be free. Near him I want to be, near him eternally, near him who loves me and keeps me each day. He is my Lord and King, ever cling, and I shall be near him while ages pass away. All right. Our time is up.